just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking, close with thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long, just as long as I can walk, walk close, close with thee. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my sorrow share? None but thee, Lord, none but thee. Oh, when my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely on to thy kingdom, sure, sure to sure. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. Jesus, if you please. Daily walking, close with thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Hallelujah. 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 We should want to have a closer walk with Jesus. We have a closer walk with Jesus, everything will be all right. Not just because it'll be all right, Jesus will make it all right. See, I can walk with you a little ways, but there's come a point where I'm going to get tired, where my burdens are going to get heavy. I'm going to play out. But Jesus has all power. Jesus won't ever get tired. You can't talk to him too much. Jesus won't go to sleep on you. Jesus will always, always, always show up and show out and do whatever he knows is best. Just a closer walk with Jesus. Thank God for mama and daddy, sisters and brothers, church family members, close friends that we can walk with and talk with. But how many here know there's some things you can only tell Jesus? There's some things only the Lord needs to know. And what I love about him is that he'll keep your secrets. Look past our many faults. Oh, we ain't got to be pretty this morning, church family. Come on now. You know we got some faults. All of us. But Jesus looks past our many faults. And does exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. To God be the glory. Lord Jesus, we now just want to say thank you and to just give you the praise, Lord, that you rightly deserve. Lord God, somebody even said, if you don't do anything else for me, you've already done enough. Lord, I don't know if anybody else believes it, but I know that showed up my testimony. If you don't do another thing for Edwin, Lord, what you have done has exceeded my wildest expectations. Thank you, Lord. And I just ask you to use me now to your glory. In your name, amen. Let's thank God for this male chorus. And let me say, they're singing today to sing and serenade the women of the church primarily. So let's thank the men today for singing for the women. Amen. We do give honor to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity of Jehovah God, to my sisters and brothers in the preaching ministry. Reverend Stevenson is actually preaching today, and so that's why she's not with us. So let's keep her lifted up. And Reverend Reverend Lee is visiting with her family out of the area, so let's keep her lifted up as well. To the deacons and trustees and leaders of the church and to our church family, to all you all who are visiting, we welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you will turn with me, please, to the book of John, St. John, the 8th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 9, 10, and 11. Gospel of St. John, the 8th chapter, verses 9, 10, and 11. The message for today was confirmed to me this morning during Sunday school, so I don't know how it's going to be received, but I know it is the right word, because as Miss Lola was teaching, the Lord said that there were three very specific things in the Sunday school lesson this morning, and it, in a general sense, it hit upon the message for today. Pastor used to say that a pastor's preaching sometimes is different than perhaps other associate ministers and other preachers who may come to the church, because you know our assignment primarily is to take the spiritual temperature of the church, and then God will show us and tell us how he wants to prepare messages that God says is for the good of the church. And so, and this is all positive. This is not meant to be negative at all. So like I said, I don't know how the message will be received, but I'm confident that this is the right message. And I pray that you'll open your spiritual ears and your spiritual hearts to receive this word. From John, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 9, I'm reading from the NIV. It says, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Verse 10. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Verse 11. She said, "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go and leave your life of sin." Now, from the King James, we know that verse to say, go and sin no more. And I just want to, for a few minutes, a very few minutes, church family, I'm going to preach from the subject, Jesus 3.0. Jesus 3.0. In this 8th chapter of the book of St. John, there is a story that I'm sure is very familiar with a lot of us, beginning at verse number 1. We're told that a woman who was caught committing the sin of adultery, she was brought to Jesus by a group of men, only men. These men were the religious leaders and the religious teachers in that community. They reminded Jesus that according to the law of Moses, this woman must be put to death. No wiggle room. Not she could be. Not let's go to court and have a trial won, and maybe if she doesn't get what she wants in district court, she can go to superior court, and if she don't get it there, she can appeal it. No, no appeal. The law of Moses said for what this woman had done, she must be put to death. So these religious leaders and these religious teachers, they asked Jesus, what did he think should be done to the woman? They thought they were going to set up a trap to catch Jesus saying something wrong so they could accuse him. They said, so Jesus, what should we do with this woman? They thought they were smart. They were sick of Jesus because Jesus was turning their whole world upside down. He was completely dismantling the religious thought, the traditional church thinking of his day. So they were sick of him and they wanted to trap him into speaking against the laws of Moses, which would have been illegal if he had done that. But these men were really silly and dumb. Amen. Because they didn't realize that Jesus Christ was greater than the law of Moses. Moses was just a man. Jesus was Almighty God come into the flesh. Amen. 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 So instead of saying anything in response to their question, Jesus just ignored them. And he bent down and he began writing in the dirt with his finger. So that made these men angry because how dare this man, Monte, you've asked me a question and I just ignore you. How dare you ignore me? So they got angry and they began to pressure him more. Jesus, what do you say? What should be done to this woman? At one point, Jesus straightened up and he said to the men, now this is from the Amplified Version. He said, let him who is without sin among you be the first one to throw a stone at her. The words convicted the men. And one by one, the Bible says, they turned and walked away. And they walked away, and there was nobody left but Jesus and this woman. And as they were standing there together, Jesus asked the woman, where are the men? Where are those that were condemning you? Are they still around? Does nobody actually offer a condemnation against you? And she said, no, Lord. Then Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now as I said, this story is very familiar to some of us. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of you stopped paying attention as soon as I said the woman caught in adultery. And I'm just like some of you. I've heard this story preached for years, and I understand that after a while you think the sermon doesn't apply to me. See, some of us will say, well, I'm a man, so this doesn't apply to me. Some of the women will say, well, I'm a woman, but I've never committed adultery, so that doesn't apply to me. Amen. Some of y'all say, well, this story is too old school. In this country, people get caught cheating all the time, and they do. But nobody is put to death for it, and they don't. But I believe there are two things that make this story current and important. Number one, the problem of sin. And number two, the power of Jesus Christ. Let me ask us all to just take a deep breath and look at this story from a different perspective. The woman in John 8 represents everybody. She represents every one of us. Male or female, every one of us. Because all of us have sinned, or we will sin at some point. The Bible says so. I believe that there are some women and men, too, who can honestly say that they have never committed physical adultery, but there's more than one kind of adultery. Amen. Jesus said if you look at a man or a woman with desire, with lust, you've committed adultery. And there's another kind of adultery. Jesus said we were to love God, the Father, more than anything and anybody else. So anytime you love something or somebody more than you love, and let me back up now. And God says that as believers in Jesus, we're the bride of Christ. So he's married to us, right? So anytime you put anything above God, you're committing spiritual adultery. Because you're cheating on the one that you're supposed to be honest with. So it's not just adultery as we think of it. Amen. But don't get hung up on adultery. Don't get hung up on that. Let's focus on our many sins, whatever they may be. This is an old story, but it has a present problem. In our present world, we need Jesus Christ as much today as that woman needed him back in her day. In this Apple and Google, Fox and MSNBC News, Facebook and Instagram world, all of us need Jesus. We need Jesus 3.0. Let me tell you. That's okay. That's all right. He'll get it together. That's all right. We need Jesus. Let me tell you why and how. Jesus 3.0. Jesus is not an old God. He's an on-time God. He's a present God. Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you read the Bible, you're not just reading an old history book. When you read the Bible, you're reading a living document. And what you read back in the day still applies to you and I this day. Some of us, I think, forget that. I forget it sometimes, too. I think most of us will agree that the advances in technology help make our lives more comfortable and more pleasurable. We like our smartphones. We love the internet. We love our smart home devices like Alexa. You tell Alexa to do something, and Alexa does it. Some of y'all gonna get fooled one day because Alexa gonna do something you didn't tell her to do. You gonna have a mess on your hand. You come in the house and stuff going on, and ain't nobody there but you and Alexa, and you ain't told her to do nothing. Amen. You keep all that smart stuff you want to. I ain't quite that ready yet. But we love those devices because they make our lives more pleasurable and they make our lives more comfortable. But on the other hand, modern technology also makes it easier for us to sin. You think about it. Modern technology doesn't make us sin. It makes it easier for us to sin because we choose to do what we do. Modern technology allows us to steal from people's bank accounts. Modern technology allows us to create fake pictures and fake images. And you can put people in places that they never were. Amen. Modern technology allows us to engage in sexual sin anywhere we go. As long as you got a smart device, cell phone, something with you, you can go out on the internet and get into all kind of stuff. Amen. We're no different today than that woman was in this story. Sometimes our sins become public knowledge. And like the woman, the prescribed punishment for our sin may be immediate, painful, and permanent punishment. Painful more than physical. Now that woman's punishment was going to be physical. But you get exposed in some sin or some wrongdoing, whatever it is. Lose your career, maybe lose your family, lose all those folks that claim they loved you so good till they find out. Lose even the opportunity, Monte, sometimes to recover. Some folk have some stuff that comes out publicly about them, whether it's true or not, and they can't even ever recover. So what I want you to know is that sometimes when we're exposed, we're just like that woman, and the punishment or the result of our being exposed in our sin is painful, it's immediate, and it may be permanent. I said we were like the woman, but many of us are like her accusers too. Amen. Amen. Because if we had our way, when folks mess up in life, we would lay down the law on the folks that mess up without any consideration at all. Sometimes we want Jesus to bring the hammer down on other folks, but we want him to kind of go light on us. See, some of us, even Christians, we have no problem destroying another person's life over making one wrong decision. But I thank Jesus that he's not like you and me. Everybody here over 10 years old, you should be thanking Jesus too. Back in John 8, when those men brought that woman to Jesus, they didn't know they had just brought her to the only person who could look past her sin and see her need to be saved. Jesus was the only person who was willing to stand with her while she was in immediate danger. Only Jesus Christ could tell those religious hypocrites without any fear that before you throw one stone at her, you must be sinless yourself. Amen. He's the same Jesus all the time. He's Jesus 3.0. There are three ways Jesus helped the woman in this story, and he will help any of us today if we want his help. Number one, Jesus gives grace to sinners. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hand, but I know that applies to everybody in here. Jesus gives grace to sinners. That means he gives us something that we don't deserve. What did he give that woman? He gave her consideration and protection. And by law, she didn't deserve either one of them. She didn't deserve any consideration. She got caught doing wrong, and she certainly didn't deserve any protection because the law says she must be killed. But Jesus gave her grace. Why does Jesus give us grace even when we sin? Romans 3, 24 and 25 says this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation for by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Short way of saying it, God the Father made Jesus Christ sin for all of us. So because when he died on that cross, he took the pain and the penalty for our sins. That's why Jesus gives us grace, because God the Father showed us grace by the death of Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus gives mercy to sinners. That means Jesus holds something back from us that we really do deserve. Amen now. He holds something back from us that we really, really, really do deserve. Harsh punishment for our sins. In this case, Jesus felt that that woman's public humiliation was enough. Amen. She didn't need to be killed. She was now, because you think about it, even though the Bible says he told her, go and sin no more, that woman had to live with that among people just like you and me, church folk, for the rest of her natural life, whatever that was. That woman would never, ever be thought of again without being associated with that sin. So Jesus felt that her public humiliation was enough. Some of us think our sins are less than another person's. And that's, like I said before, we want God to bring the hammer down on you, but be light on me. But I thank God that Jesus decides how much mercy each one of us deserves. Why doesn't Jesus always slam us down and break us when we sin? One of the answers is found in the 103rd Psalm, verse number 8. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Here we are. He is slow to get angry, and he is abounding with steadfast love. That's why the Lord doesn't do to you and me what he could and should do to you and me when we sin against it. Now, I'm talking about after we saved and we know better, too. I ain't talking about when we were hanging out there before we came to Christ. I'm talking about while we sometimes have been saved and walking in the Lord and we slip up every once in a while. It's because he is abounding in steadfast love, and he's merciful and gracious. Here's the third thing. Jesus forgives our sins. Jesus forgives our sins. As I already said, when he asked the woman, where are your accusers? Who's condemning you? And she said, nobody, Lord. He said, I don't condemn you either. He told her, go and sin no more. See, even though the folks in her day might not have forgotten it, Jesus forgot it. Let me tell you why that's a blessing. Because that woman was going to die one day. And when that woman stood before Jesus in judgment, that wasn't going to be on her record at all. See, that had been blotted out just like it never happened. When Jesus forgives us, he makes a choice to not remember that we sinned against him. When Jesus forgives, amen, Carolyn. When Jesus forgives us, he makes a choice to not remember that we sinned against him. And Carolyn said, thank you, Jesus. And I'm right with her. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory, hallelujah to his name. I can prove it. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. The Lord was speaking. He said, I am he, listen to this, who blots out your transgressions for my sake, and I will not remember your sins. God says he blots out, he erases our sin from his memory for his own sake, and he won't remember our sins. Three ways, again, that Jesus helped that woman, and it's the same for us today. Grace to sinners, mercy to sinners, and forgiveness of our sins. As I end this message, there's something we all need to know. Listen to me very carefully about this. This applies to us. All of it applies to us, but this especially so. Jesus requires us to give the same grace, mercy, and forgiveness to others that he gives to all of us. Jesus requires. He requires it. It's not optional. It's not because I may feel like it. It's not when I want to. It's not after I get over being upset and now I feel like it's all right now. I ain't mad at you no more, so now I'm willing. No, it's not any of that. Jesus requires us to give the same grace and mercy and forgiveness to others that he gives to us. I know that's right because of two things that were said in the word. Jesus himself said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Don't you want to be forgiven? You might not care at all about being forgiven by me, but there's somebody somewhere that you want to forgive you for something. Or if you mess up, there's somebody in your life that you love them enough, you respect them enough, you hold their opinion of you in such high esteem that you want them to be willing to give you a second chance. So if you feel that way, then you need to feel that way and treat somebody else the same way. Second thing it will say in the Bible says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Amen. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Take an inventory of yourself in the last 30 days. Who has said something or done something to upset you? And I'm not saying that you're wrong to be upset. But the question is, if you're a Christian, what is it that you're supposed to do? Just because you forgive them, that doesn't mean that you have to be okay with what they did. That's not it. Do you think Jesus is okay with some of the mess we have done? And some of the mess we still do? And I don't mean mess. Let me make sure I'm very clear about this. I have to say this every once in a while. When I say mess, I don't mean actions. Some of us, sometimes it's our attitudes. Sometimes it's the words we say to folks and how we say stuff to folks that Jesus would not be pleased with. Amen. Amen. So now, you think about that. Here's the last thing. We have not done anything so bad, past or present, that is beyond the grace, mercy, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. I got to leave us with that one. Whoever you are this morning, and somebody that may hear this on the radio, whenever it may be played on the radio, if the Lord let it be played on the radio, you haven't done a thing in this world that's so bad that you're beyond the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Jesus is not an old school God. He's an always on time God. He's a high tech Jesus for a high tech world. He's Jesus 3.0. Elon Musk, multimillionaire. Jeff Bezos, multi-billionaire. Oprah Winfrey, multi-millionaire. Donald Trump, president of the United States. The Pope over in Rome, considered by some to be the highest religious person in the world. All of them, one day, will bow down to Jesus Christ. Today, if you're willing to admit that you have problems in your life and you recognize that no other man and no other woman can help you, I beg you to turn to Jesus Christ. I promise you that Jesus will help you get through whatever it is. You got to trust him. You got to be willing to take a chance. You got to be willing to say, Lord, I throw up my hands. I can't do it all. I can't do no more, DeVito. I need some help. I turned to mama. Mama had her problems. I turned to daddy. Daddy had his problems. I turned to my best friend. She had her problems too. I don't know anybody else to turn to. There are some strangers that say they'll help me, Monte, but it's going to cost me something if they help me. I got to compromise in some way if they help me. So I can't turn to them either. The only one I can turn to who doesn't want anything from me is Jesus. He's the only one. Jesus promised he'd never leave us. He promised he'd never forsake us. He promised that when we cried out to him, he would hear our cry and he would answer by and by. Amen. There's a song that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to Jesus Christ in prayer. Oh, what needless pain we suffer. Amen. Why? Because we won't go to Jesus. Oh, what endless pain we bear. All because we will not carry everything to Jesus Christ in prayer. How do I know that Jesus is able? Because he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Rose of Sharon. Amen. He's the Lamb of God. He has everything that anybody needs, anytime you need it. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me, and I choose to believe it, that there was a Friday when Jesus went up on a cross. Yeah, he went up on a cross. And when he went up on that cross that Friday, he was thinking about everybody sitting in Roanoke, Salem on May 19th, 2019. He saw every one of us on that cross, and he was thinking about us. Said they nailed him in his hands and his feet. They pierced him in his side. They took him off that cross and put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all the rest of Friday. And he stayed there all Saturday and all Saturday night. And the Bible says that early on that Sunday morning, Jesus Christ got up from the grave with all power in heaven, on earth, under the earth. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a 3.0 Jesus. He's my God, and he can be your God too. If you'll trust him with his life, give God some glory. Jesus is not a fairy tale. Jesus is not a myth. Jesus is not a legend. Jesus is real. Is there anybody here that's willing to say, I know Jesus is real because he's real in your soul? Is there anybody? Will anybody just celebrate the Lord with me? I know he's real because he's real in my soul and he's real in your soul. We know that we know that we know. We've tried him and we found him to be faithful. Come on, deacons, please. Give me 1 second, choir. If there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sins, won't you please come this morning? Won't you please come this morning? Every one of us goes through things in life. Every one of us has problems. Every one of us has challenges.